We are Rogue Media Sports.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Welcome to week 7 of the Doomsday Podcast. Cowboys lose and look horrendous, like they might not win another game this season. Major issues between the players on the field and in the locker room and the coaching staff, I believe. After some things that happened in this game and things that were said in the aftermath by Mike McCarthy and players. But this is going to be a great show on a bad Cowboys performance, because we're not going to look at it play by play or group by group. It's more of an overview. And we have some special elements. We, of course, have stretch marks with Glenn Stretch Smith grading the Cowboys in his own unique way. And I've secured a special guest for us, my ESPN colleague, NFL reporter, Sal Palantonio, who's actually been at ESPN for 25 years and had a unique opportunity to see all four NFC East teams this week. Unfortunately, Matt Mosley has suffered a setback and he's in the hospital awaiting surgery, so he will not be joining the Doomsday Podcast tonight. So it's another solo venture. But I've got plenty to say, believe it or not, for both of us. Not a great moment for the Cowboys. This, in fact, might be one of the worst Cowboys teams I've ever covered. And I covered the 1-15 team in 1989, was my first in the area when Jimmy Johnson was hired, when Jerry Jones bought the team, when Troy Aikman was a first-round pick, and they went 1-15. I'm concerned that this team might lower itself to that standard. Look, the Cowboys aren't winning anything this season, and the players know it. The Dak Prescott season-ending injury changed everything for this team. The player who competed beginning to end, the quarterback whom they felt most accountable to, the player who disguised all their flaws, was gone. I mean, they were just shamed by a one-win Washington team by 22 points. Washington held Dallas to 59 net yards passing, the least for the Cowboys since 1976. Dallas is 3 points, the fewest they've ever scored against Washington. And Washington's 22-point win, the largest margin of victory over Dallas in 15 years. Look, I don't think Cowboys players can get Mike McCarthy fired after one season. But the results certainly suggest that's what they're trying to do. Too often appears the only thing into which they're making a consistent effort is ousting their head coach. Look, McCarthy signed a 5-year contract. Firing him would be costly financially. In a year where every NFL owner is losing millions and Jerry Jones more than all the others because of no attendance or little attendance during this pandemic season, I just can't see Jerry paying two full coaching staffs for 4 more years and admit that he made a huge mistake as a general manager in evaluating that McCarthy was the coach his team needed. I mean, Jones has seldom believed that it was worthwhile to pay huge money to head coaches. Now he's going to pay two of them? I don't think so. Look, Jerry patiently waited 10 years for Jason Garrett to justify the franchise's investment in him. He coached the Cowboys for an entire decade, their worst ever in terms of playoff appearances. And Jerry never fired him, not even at the end. He let his contract expire. Now he's going to fire McCarthy after 7 games or one season, whatever you think it might be. Jerry's history has to be considered in this argument. Chan Gailey was fired after 2 years, and Jones expressed regret that he didn't allow him to have at least 1 more year. Wade Phillips is the only coach in franchise history fired during a season. I'm not saying that Mike McCarthy should be absolved of blame because of the unique hardship imposed on first-year head coaches in the NFL pandemic. He's a 13-year veteran head coach whose team went to the playoffs 9 times and won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. Look around the league. Matt Rhule, he's got 3 wins. Kevin Stefanski, he's got 5 wins. They have more wins in their first-time NFL head coaches, and they've had the same disadvantages. The Panthers playing without Christian McCaffrey, the Browns without Nick Chubb. Not to mention, you know, Rhule changed over the roster. It was so widespread, they had the fewest returning snaps among any team in the entire league, and yet they've won 3 games. I thought the most important thing that happened today was that Mike McCarthy was openly critical of his players for their passive reaction when Andy Dalton took an illegal hit by John Bostic that resulted in a concussion for the quarterback and the disqualification of the linebacker ejected from the game. What maybe worse than that was he said, quote, "We speak all the time about playing for one another, protecting one another. It definitely was not the response you would expect." Asked if he thought the hit was dirty, McCarthy said, "I think we all understand clearly what the hit was." Now, maybe if Tyron Smith or Zach Martin or Lael Collins would have been in the lineup, they would have retaliated. But they weren't on the field and none of their replacements responded. And McCarthy's not wrong in believing that his players should have protected their quarterback and they should have expressed outrage at what happened on that field to Andy Dalton, concussed and maybe not available to play next week. Instead, they did nothing. They did nothing. Now, I would also argue that under the circumstances we've seen, there's a lot of evidence of friction between McCarthy's coaching staff and the players. And McCarthy calling out his players for their failure to act in defense of their injured quarterback is not going to play well in the locker room. Nor is what McCarthy told Fox sideline reporter Pam Oliver at halftime of Sunday's game. "We have to change our attitude, get some turnovers, take care of the ball. But I'm pretty blue in the face about stressing those things." Mike McCarthy, again, pointing his finger at his players. Now, here are the updated turnover statistics. Yeah, Cowboys have added to them. They have an NFL high 16 turnovers, 3 takeaways. They're minus 13. They've been outscored off turnovers 84 to 10. DeMarcus Lawrence says the Cowboys can absolutely turn it around. That was his word, absolutely. But his explanation offered some insight into where these players are mentally and emotionally, their determination and level of commitment. He said, "We need more belief, more high spirits around this team, and really more fight. That's really one of our weaknesses. We need to build a stronger backbone, fight, and make sure we're doing everything possible to come out with a victory." This is a player. One of the highest paid defensive player in franchise history says that a lack of fight is one of their weaknesses, which is pretty much what McCarthy said. So they won't like that he said it, but it's true. I mean, that's what DeMarcus Lawrence just said. Look at Washington. Let's judge how good the Cowboys are by how bad Washington is. Here's Washington in their last 6 games. Lost by 15 to the Cardinals, lost by 14 to the Browns, lost by 14 to the Ravens, lost by 20 to the Giants. To the Rams, sorry, lost by 20 to the Rams, lost by 1 to the Giants, beat the Cowboys by 22. Are you kidding me? Quote of the day, defensive back Anthony Brown: "There's no way anybody can come off that field today and point their finger at somebody else and say it was their fault. There's no way." You want to know how bad Washington is? Giants second-year quarterback Daniel Jones has won 4 games in the NFL. 4 games as an NFL starter, and 3 of them are against Washington. Jalen Smith called these 2 road games against Washington and Philadelphia must-win games. At least Jason Garrett's teams, at least they won in the NFC East against weak opponents that they knew so well. This Cowboys team's 1-2 in their own division, which is laughably bad. The Eagles are the first team since the 1970 merger to lead a division after week 7 with 2 or fewer wins. Now listen to this laughable comment from Everson Griffin. He said, "We're ticked off. Everybody's tired of it. In order to do something about it, we have to do it as a team. We have to face the adversity together." What does he say to those who think they aren't giving their all? He said, and I quote, "We never quit. We don't quit." Are you kidding me? This team quit. when Dak Prescott couldn't get up. And you know what? One more thing, because we're not going to break down this game. The game is too much like all the other ones we've already broken down. So we're taking a big picture look at this franchise. You know what was interesting to me? Jerry Jones this week brought up player salaries. He said the Cowboys in Washington were going to be playing with about 60% of their salary cap on the bench and unavailable because they're on IR or they're injured. Zach Martin out of the game. So Dak Prescott, Tyron Smith, Lael Collins, Joe Looney, Blake Jarwin, Tristan Hill, Sean Lee, Chido Uzie, add it all up. Now, Jerry said this is not excuse city. He said just a fact. Just a fact. You know what else is a fact? I mentioned 1989. I covered the Cowboys in 1989. I covered the Cowboys in those early years. And guess what? Jerry Jones was always worried about the impact the guaranteed contracts would have on a violent game like professional football. And maybe recent events have validated that concern. Three players who received the richest contract last year are central to the team's losing the season. Ezekiel Elliott leads the NFL in fumbles and has no 100-yard rushing games. Jalen Smith hasn't been a consistent playmaker, even though he appointed himself leader of the defense, too often failing to give maximum effort, acknowledging that again this week, that he's been a part of that. They've been seen on videotape 3 weeks ago, dogging it against the Browns. And last week, guess who gets called out? Jalen Smith admits it himself that he didn't hustle. And then there's tackle Lael Collins. He reported to camp out of shape, which Jerry suggested may have contributed to the season-ending injury he suffered. That'll cause him to miss all 16 games. This is all in contrast to the quarterback not provided a long-term contract, doesn't have long-term security. And Dak Prescott was single-handedly overcoming all of this team's deficiencies, making this team competitive while leading in multiple passing categories in what was likely to be his greatest season yet. But then his season ended prematurely with a fractured ankle, and he couldn't get up, and the Cowboys have not gotten up. And I will expect that they will not get up the rest of this season. So I think major personnel changes will be coming this offseason. I don't think McCarthy will get fired. I mean, I guess if they go 2-14, anything could happen. But for the reasons I stated earlier, I find it hard to imagine Jerry Jones firing a coach and indicting himself as general manager and paying all that money. I just don't see it. And so I think ultimately the players are going to pay the price for whatever transpires this season. I think McCarthy is going to make the argument that he didn't have an opportunity because there were no preseason games. He couldn't properly evaluate these guys, and so he had to do it during the season. And so when the season fails and they examine the quality of the players on the roster and the performance on the field and how those players fit into McCarthy's vision and his systems, I think that's when the players are going to pay the price for what's happening on that football field right now. McCarthy said last week, the coaches have to teach and demand, the players have to prepare and perform. So the first thing that occurs to me is this: the players who failed to win under the previous coaching staff are now complaining that the current coaching staff is inhibiting their ability to win. The McCarthy coaching staff is new. You know what's not new? The management of the team and the players on the field. Clearly, there's enough failure that everyone can accept some of the blame. Everyone deserves some of the blame. But the two most prevalent issues on this team are a lack of effort, a lack of fight, and poor ball security. And to me, those are player responsibilities. Well, it's going to take an awful lot of some cold beverages for some people to wash down this Cowboys season. You know, what better than the original light beer, Miller Lite? Miller Lite has always been there to bring people together through hard times, good times, hard times like the Cowboys are enduring right now. So whether you're toasting to friends near or far, great taste is always close by. Right now, enjoying a Miller Lite with friends looks different for everyone, but staying connected is just important. You don't want your friends to have the same relationship with you that Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff have with those Cowboys players. So get together over a Miller Lite or 10 and enjoy your time. Talk about this team's problems and what they can do to resolve them long term. Because right now, enjoying Miller Lite with friends looks different, but staying connected, just so important. Some people are stuck in a house with their roommates and partners. Others are back home with their family. Some, you know, keep their interactions strictly digital, like we're doing here tonight with the Doomsday Podcast. Others have embraced hangouts outdoors at a safe distance. But wherever you are and whatever you're doing and however you're either celebrating or grieving this Cowboys loss, do it. Do it with Miller Lite. And now we have a unique opportunity on the Doomsday Podcast. And boy, it's been a succession of doomsdays for this Cowboys team. Sal Palantonio, my ESPN colleague, lives in Philadelphia, covers the games every week just like I do. And unique this week is the fact that Sal has covered all four of the teams in the NFC East. And Sal, today was your first opportunity to see the Mike McCarthy Dallas Cowboys. And I wonder what your overall takeaway was from the performance you witnessed.
In preparation of doing this podcast with you, while I was watching the game, I was trying to write down as many talking points about the team as I could in different quarters of the game. And the number one thing that I had on in all four quarters was lack of offensive line play. They just could not protect. They could not move people off the ball. They were routinely fooled by a very vanilla defense. And I just thought that they cannot win at the line of scrimmage with their offensive line. And so that would be absolutely number one. And then the second thing that I saw was just missed assignments on defense and missed tackles that led to big plays. A long touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin. The touchdown where linebacker missed the tackle down at the 5-yard line.
Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith, yeah, excuse me, exactly. So those are two specific instances where the defense just didn't perform the way it's supposed to perform. And then the last thing that jumped out at me, and I wasn't the one that asked Mike McCarthy, but if I had been given the opportunity, I would have, was after Andy Dalton gets train wrecked by the Washington football team's linebacker,
John Bostic.
Kicked out of the game. I mean, that was a vicious, illegal hit that probably will definitely result in a hefty fine and may lead to a game suspension. And no one attacked John Bostic in a Cowboys uniform. Verbally, I didn't see it. I had my binoculars on it, verbally or physically. And there was the quarterback laying prone on the ground.
What does that say to you?
I'm looking for fight, Ed. I don't see fight. And when Mike McCarthy was asked about it, I don't have the quote in front of me right now, but it was pretty telling that that he was disappointed in the reaction of his players.
Right. He basically said, we're supposed to protect each other and take care of each other, and I expected more than I saw. So in one
that
on one
is
hand,
an incredible, incredible indictment of his own
is.
Players.
And so there's two problems with that play. That play maybe reveals two things that are wrong with this team. One is the players on the field did not respond and protect their quarterback and object. And there were no consequences for the Washington football team for that on the field. And then McCarthy calls out his players for failing to do so, which I can't imagine that helps his relationship with them.
No. And, you know, this is one of the real drawbacks of the situation we're in as reporters.
Yep.
Now, if it was just normal times, you know, first of all, you would be in Washington and you would have sat there when Mike McCarthy was asked that question, or you probably would have asked it yourself. And then immediately you're in the locker room getting players' responses, but that wasn't available to us tonight. I don't believe any other player other than the backup quarterback who came in was available to anybody on Zoom.
Yeah, no, you're right. We would have been in the locker room. We would have pulled people aside. We'd have gotten some direct responses to how they interpreted what happened on the field and then in McCarthy's press conference afterward. So how surprised are you at how poorly this team has responded to Mike McCarthy's first seven games as a head coach in the NFL?
Pretty surprised, Ed. I would say shocked. I would say you had asked me how the team responded today, because after, you know, the anonymous quotes were reported and after McCarthy addressed it in the team meeting on Wednesday, which you alerted me to, and I wound up reporting on this morning. I thought that this game was a referendum. This particular game was a referendum. How would they respond in this game after those reports came out and then Mike McCarthy addressed it in the team meeting and the whole world was watching?
And right. I mean, Jalen Smith, as you know, said going into these two games, hey, this is going to be revealing. This is our season. We're playing for our season in Washington and then at Philadelphia. And they get beat 22 points by a Washington team has won one game. And the one team they beat was Philly, right? Week one.
Yeah. And, you know, they got beat by Kyle Allen, who was the quarterback where Ron Rivera got fired in Carolina. So, I mean, listen, it's pretty bad. I think I sent you a text in the middle of the game that said, you know, now that I've seen it live and in color with my own eyes, because you can watch film like we do for the matchup show and you can watch highlights and you can listen to people talk about it. But until you're actually watching it live, you know, that's why we cover games.
Right.
That's why you cover the game. And you're watching in your binoculars live and things transpiring. And there's all sorts of things that you see, you know, when players come off the field and reactions to to each other and to the coaches and the coaches' reactions to the players and body language, which is so important. I didn't see fight it. I just did not. Not enough.
So based on the four teams that you've seen this week in the NFC East, which one do you think is the best and will win the division?
Well, and I don't want to say this because it's a parochial answer. But
yeah, I mean, if you think Philadelphia is the best team, I could certainly make an argument for that myself.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they have the best talent. Like, would I take Greg Ward over CeeDee Lamb? No, never. No way.
Right. Right.
Would I take Boston Scott over Ezekiel Elliott? No, no way. I would not. But what I have seen from Philadelphia in the last two games is they have fought to the whistle, to the end. And they came back and were within 2 points of beating a very, very good Ravens team that absolutely brutalized Carson Wentz. And Wentz fought to the end. And then they came back down 21-10. Now they built the hole, but they did come back from it and beat the Giants the way they did in the fourth quarter. So they have fight, and they're fighting for their head coach. They're fighting for each other. And I think that's the difference between them and the Dallas Cowboys. I actually think that the Washington football team showed a lot today. I mean, I really think Terry McLaurin is a talent. I think their rookie running back is a talent. I like the way Kyle Allen runs the huddle and gets to the line of scrimmage. And every time you see his face, he's got a smile on his face. Like, you know, the players really dig him on that team. And the coach obviously has a belief in him. If I'm assessing team by team, I think the real drawback for Washington is they don't blitz enough. As soon as they started blitzing Andy Dalton today, it was over. It was over. And as for the Giants, they showed some fight, but they just have talent shortcomings. They picked the bad left tackle. in the first round. He's lunging at people, and he gets too many penalties. And they don't have enough at running back. And Daniel Jones sees some things, but misses a whole lot of other stuff.
I think I think Daniel Jones is a talented player, but he doesn't have very good pocket awareness, and he doesn't protect the football.
No, he does not, and he misses a lot of things on the field. And
I think your point about when you mentioned the Eagles and the fact that they fight, and we haven't seen that from the Cowboys. You even mentioned I think all three of the other teams have demonstrated more resolve and competitiveness recently than the Cowboys have.
If you watch those games,
I think all three of those other teams play hard.
Listen, the story in Dallas this week is going to be Mike McCarthy called out his players for not coming to his quarterback's rescue. That's it. As soon as you're able to talk to some of these players via Zoom, this is the question that's going to be asked them.
Yep. Yep.
And going into Philadelphia, a place where, if you're not ready to fight in the stands or in the parking lot, don't bother to show up. never mind on the field. That's just the calling card of South Philly. So I'm sure that's going to be the number one storyline going into Sunday Night Football. For sure. That and the fact that Andy Dalton presumably is going to go into some kind of concussion protocol, I would imagine.
Yeah, he has to. They did. The team conceded that he suffered a concussion, so that automatically puts him in the protocol and creates all kinds of questions about his availability this week against Philadelphia, which I think, absolutely. I think Philadelphia's biggest advantage is they've already played the Steelers and the Ravens, so those losses are already on their ledger. The Cowboys haven't played either one of those teams yet. And they're losing to Washington and nearly to the Giants and everybody else that they play. And they've lost now two quarterbacks, and the Eagles still have their starting quarterback, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but the Eagles' schedule is tough. They still have to play Seattle, Green Bay.
They have to play the first place schedule, right?
Yeah, it's Seattle, Green Bay, and New Orleans.
But you're right about the fight thing with Wentz. I mean, he makes some ridiculous throws. He leaves the pocket way too often, in my opinion. I know he's not well protected right now. But what he did last year with no receiver having 500 yards and winning the division over a far more talented Dallas team on week 16, I mean, to me, that said everything.
Yes. But people bring up that comparison, but there's a major difference between the winning streak at the end of last year and this Eagles team right now. That's the health of the offensive line, Ed.
Yeah.
So that was what Doug Peterson needs to do. And I don't mind saying this all of the time, is he needs to do a better job like Stefanski does in Cleveland and did in Minnesota. And that is move the pocket. Get Carson Wentz to move that launch pad so that he's not a sitting duck. The offense is too vanilla. It's too static. And I'm not suggesting that Jalen Hurts come on the field, because all indications are from talking to coaches and, we don't see much practice, is that Jalen Hurts is not ready for prime time for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
So Carson Wentz is the quarterback, but Jalen Hurts can be used on the field as a Taysom Hill kind of a player.
Sure.
But not as a direct snap with Carson Wentz at wide receiver and then, have a zone read run play that's got no chance because your offensive line is outnumbered and you don't have the top talent on your offensive line. You can't run zone read run plays with your third string tackle. I know that, and I'm just a reporter.
You're one of the very best that we have, and I'm so proud of the relationship that we have as colleagues and friends. And thank you for giving us your observations after seeing all four of these teams and being able to really scrutinize them with your own eyes, like you said, live and in color. You have a whole different perspective on how these teams play and what their strengths and weaknesses are, and. Thanks for stopping by on the Doomsday Podcast as you make your drive back to upstate New York in your stately mansion and your lovely wife. and your big pool, which I hope you've covered by now. And I assume you will be in the city of brotherly love for that Sunday night epic between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Thanks, Sal.
Hey, we call it the city of brotherly shove, baby, in South Philadelphia.
And you represent them so well, my friend. Thanks, buddy.
All right,
drive
man.
Safe.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
See you, Sal.
All right, bye-bye.
It's time for one of our regular sponsors. Doomsday Podcast has been fortunate enough to return people who know who to bet on. And if you're going to bet on anybody in the podcasting business, why not the Doomsday Podcast? MyBookie, MyBookie.com. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means insane props, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. At MyBookie, winning season means watching live sports, betting live sports all season long. Rejoice, the NFL is playing. That means action-packed Sundays and huge cash prizes. Get in on the action. Use promo code Doomsday, D-O-O-M-S-D-A-Y, Doomsday, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. Designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best this NFL season for your chance to win big. Use promo code Doomsday and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. And speaking of winning, well, we can't do much talk about winning. But one of the things we will win at is we will have the best grades of Cowboys games every week on the Doomsday Podcast, and that's because we have a segment, one of our most popular, called Stretch Marks, featuring Glenn Stretch Smith, former Cowboys coach and scout. And boy, could this team use some coaching and scouting, but I'm afraid you're just going to have to give us some grades and explain why you've graded this team as harshly as I know you have, Stretch. So let's just start at the very beginning of this debacle, shall we?
Yeah, I'm on board, and I'm going to let you steer what feels like a rudderless ship with Stretch's grades, because it's just I'm just out here floating in the water, trying to figure out what is going on, trying to figure out some techniques some guys are playing, trying to figure out a few guys' names. I don't even know. The third quarterback they put in, I mean, it sounded like
Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci, yeah. You know him. Know him well.
I know. It sounded like one of those Italian restaurants you and your wife go when you're up there in Colorado frolicking around in the snow like you are today. DiNucci's Bistro.
I would love to have some raviolis, by the way.
Hey, I'm telling you, when they told me who the quarterback was, I almost said, God bless you. I thought they'd sneezed. I wasn't sure what that was.
No, they just coughed it up again. You know, it wasn't so long ago that we were harshly grading the defense, but the offense was getting some very high marks. And now, sadly, the offense is playing down to the level of the defense. So let's start with the offense. Stretch, they played two quarterbacks today. Andy Dalton makes his second start. I got to say, I didn't see a lot of improvement in Andy Dalton. And I know he's up against it. He's got skill position players to use, but if you don't have an offensive line, you can't function in the NFL. So what's your grade on Andy Dalton and the rookie?
Neither one of them played very well. Let's just be honest. They're not really, and I don't see them doing what they're being asked to do. I mean, and I really grade one throw that I thought, you know, Andy Dalton had an opportunity to make, and it was the angle that he threw to Zeke that was a pick. I mean, that's a 5-yard throw in a very tight window. He didn't have any pressure. That ball has got to be stuck right in his face mask. And whether I was coaching Andy Dalton or my 8th-grade son, that's a bad ball to throw it on his back shoulder when he's trying to run away from the backer in that situation. Because of that, I can't give him anything but an F. I mean, I just can't. I didn't see anything out of him that made me think, wow, you know, that was a great throw. I mean, way to hammer it in there. You know, even on the big third down conversion where they ran the seam and the dig in behind it, the ball was low. And I know he's trying to get used to these receivers, but guys, the one good ball he really threw was an incompletion. It stuck CeeDee Lamb right in the breastplate. So, you know, when you're throwing one good ball in a game like that, can't get you anything but a failing grade, guys. I don't know how to put it any different than that.
I think that's entirely fair under the circumstances. One of the worst passing days in Cowboys history, and they've had plenty of bad teams in Cowboys history. All right, let's move on to the running back. The running back, Ezekiel Elliott, big fumbling problem, takes off his sleeves today, didn't turn the ball over, got blown up on a blitz pickup at one point in the game, really not effective, 45 yards rushing. What's your grade for the running backs?
Yeah, I'm gonna say this. I mean, at least he stepped in there and he did take a shot. I mean, he got knocked right on his keister, and you know, in that situation, that's a tough ask to go in there. Now I'd tell you again, 9 times out of 10, I think he'd go put his helmet on that guy's thigh board to try to slow him down from blowing through there. I can't really knock him for getting knocked backwards in that situation. I didn't think he had much to run at. I mean, at this point, it's almost like you talk to a running back about running with their eyes. You want them to see and then be able to hit. They need anything to see. Hell yeah. It's just shut your eyes and hit it up in there for 2 yards. And so I don't know that I can be critical of him. I mean, at best, with the effort that he gave, I mean, I at best I could give him a C, and that's the best I can do there.
All right. Let's group the wide receivers and the tight ends together. I believe Amari Cooper was the only receiver to catch a pass today, caught several. They, again, had virtually no passing game. Dalton Schultz gets to be the second player, offensive player, tackled in the end zone for a safety on the Cowboys roster this year, joining Ezekiel Elliott. What'd you think of the receivers and tight ends today?
Hey, that was one of the best. That was one of the best balls that they handled all day. Was the fumble that he grabbed down there with one hand and then got tackled in the end zone. He catches a boot flat one time and almost went down like maybe you'd shot him out of the press box, but he kind of stumbled around and figured out a way to get a first down right there. You know, Amari is Amari. CD nothing. Gallup. Nothing. I mean, guys, this is painful to even have to do this, but at best, I'm going to give this group a D because wow. CeeDee Lamb's got to make a catch on that angle. He's got to
get two drops.
Yeah, and he's got to get himself in a situation where when you're the slot receiver, your quarterback, you know, 4/5 your offensive line's down. You're going to have to win in some tight areas in there so that the ball can come out. And right now, what I'm seeing out of him was you know, through the first 6 games, I saw a rookie who was really running around and today, boy, it looks like he's been reading what they're saying in the paper and anonymous sources are saying, and you know he just almost didn't show up. I mean, it was a bad look. I just got to give that entire group just above. And because of Amari, it's just above an F, but it's a damn D minus. How you like that? Just
all
above
right,
an
I
F.
Like it. A damn D minus. You mentioned it. They've lost their starting quarterback, Dak Prescott, for the year. They've also lost 4/5 of their offensive line. And the guy they have back is the guy we all thought at the start of the season was a weak link, Connor Williams. Other than that, across the board, replacements, backups, journeymen, rookies. What did you think of the offensive line performance under the circumstances up against Washington's 5 first-round draft picks on the defensive line?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just a bunch of – I mean, I'm going to just say, guys, they tried hard. I mean, it's hard to really go and grade Connor McGovern going against Payne. I mean, that's – you know, and when you got a center that's the oddish, I mean, there were times when they would – Dallas would move the tight end – and it would almost buffalo the center as to now who the Mike linebacker was. I mean, they were trying to get their calls right. It is, again, this is just a painful scenario. And because they did give effort, I mean, I did see them try to protect. I saw Steele get beat a few times, but he's a free agent. What do you expect in those situations? And I'm going to give that group a D as well. But guys, it's not good football. There's no way to get around it.
I thought maybe you'd grade on a curve, given the circumstances, give them maybe a low C. But I think a D is understandable as well. So, all right. Well, that pretty much takes care of the offense, which posted 3 big points today in the game. Now let's talk about the defense, which they got put in a bad situation yet again because of turnovers and a safety and yada, yada, yada. It's the same thing every week. What'd you think of the defensive line? Everson Griffin had a sack. DeMarcus Lawrence had a sack, but no meaningful plays made by the defense, in my opinion.
No, and I agree with you, Ed. I mean, there were. I think it really, in summation for me, that last completion where they showed it in slow motion, where Brown is there to make a play, and the ball is literally wobbling so bad in the air. It's not like a tight ball that Kyle Allen threw. Kyle Allen. We're not talking about Joe Montana. We're not talking about Kyle Allen, for crying out loud. He sits a ball in the air, and it really did. It looked like one of those doves that had been wounded out there in West Texas. It just kind of fluttered in there. And Brown is almost there to make a play, and he doesn't make it. They get a big completion. Hey guys, I tell you what I'm going to do for you, Ed. I'm going to do some reverse stretch zoology here. I'm going to tell you who I think at least gave you effort on the defensive side, and then we're going to give the rest of the group an F. But let me tell you who I thought at least.
So we're not going to break the defense down position by position because it's just not unnecessary.
Yeah, and guys, let's just do this, Ed. Let's just say I like Van Der Esch. I think Van Der Esch is a heck of a football player. I see him do things that are really, really good. I saw Dorrance Armstrong today come off the ball, separate, you know, and yank the tackle out of his seat, get up the field and make a sack. Very positive play right there. I thought DeMarcus Lawrence, to me, looks like he's kind of starting to get healthy again. I saw him make some plays in the run game. I saw him get a sack. I saw Everson Griffin get a sack, do some running around. Guys, the rest of these fellas, and I did see Donovan Wilson at safety do a few things that at least gave you a little bit of hope that maybe he can be a guy that, you know, could be a backup. You know, if you can't get some better safeties in here. But fellas, when you are still seeing leverage problems, when I still see the same exact coverage that Worley played a week ago when Christian Kirk ran by him and he just chattered his feet at about 12 yards and Christian Kirk went, you know, and they throw a touchdown. I saw the exact same technique played by Diggs today. When Lauren just explodes off the line at him, he just
he's looking in the backfield.
Yeah, he just chatters his feet. I don't know what the coverage is. I don't know what the technique is. There were 2 or 3 times that this defense still, guys, I mean, Washington shifted to a simple double set on 3rd and 5, and the secondary is screaming and making all kinds of signals as if they didn't even know which check to go to from a coverage standpoint. How many weeks are you – I mean, you got to be tired of hearing it. Hell, I'm tired of saying it. How many weeks are we going to get on here and just say, fellas, this is a bad defensive scheme. It is poorly coordinated. I turn on the TV today – and I mean, Rex Ryan is ripping them. And it's not hard to see. I mean, you don't have to look, but 11:45 in the first quarter, they get out leveraged for a big run. And guess what? The safety in the corner are there. Neither one of them knows who to set the rest of the defense is getting an F, if you don't hear me out there, including the coaches, including the damn staff, including the trainers, whoever's working on them. They aren't worth a tinker's ass. And, guys, we got to watch this for 9 more painful weeks.
What? Given what we're seeing, this is my last question to you. It's a bonus stretch since you didn't grade everybody by position, which I understand. The philosophy there and the circumstance we're in. But what do you think this team's record is going to be?
I mean, at this point, I don't see him beating anybody on the schedule. I really don't. If you couldn't beat Kyle Allen and that group today, they're good on the defensive front. But guys, when you can't even – you're not even in the game against that team. I mean, what do you want me to say? 2-14. I mean, enter the – get in the Trevor Lawrence stakes and, you know, you don't need to fire anybody. You don't need to shake anything up. Just keep playing like you're playing. You'll get – you know, you're going to get your ass waxed and that'll be it. I mean, I and I'm sorry I'm swearing, but it's like I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the verbiage. I'm a simple Texas guy. I don't even have the verbiage to say it any different than that.
Hey, we expect straightforward and right to the point. And that's what you've given us today, and that's what you give us every week. And I expect the same thing next week when the Cowboys go to Philadelphia for what's probably going to be their next loss. Stretch, thanks, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Have a blessed evening. Appreciate it.
We love those stretch marks, and boy, the Stretch just can't hold it together anymore. He just can't endure grading people position by position. It's just too onerous a proposition at this point, and understandably so. So as we wrap up this edition of the Doomsday Podcast and send the Cowboys on their way to the Philadelphia Eagles, who lead the division, believe it or not, we want to wish well to Matt Mosley, who's in the hospital. As I said, he had some spinal injuries, and he's going to have a corrective surgery performed sometime this week. So we certainly want to keep him in our thoughts and prayers, and we look forward to him rejoining us in a week or two in a full-time capacity again, and who knows where the Cowboys might be at that point in the season. But I know that I will need some relief at the very least. And I guess a final thought, what does this loss mean to the Cowboys today? Well, according to ESPN's playoff predictor, a win would have put the Cowboys at a 35% chance of making the playoffs. But that's not what happened. They didn't win. They weren't even close to winning. And a loss drops their playoff chances down to 16%. 16% chance of making the playoffs. I know when this season began, when the Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy, who had been to the playoffs 9 times with the Packers, won a Super Bowl in North Texas. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones at the press conference making the announcement, saying that this was a man who had proven he could create success, he could sustain success, he could build a culture. The Cowboys are nowhere close to achieving any of those things. And one way or the other, they may have to start over from ground zero when this season comes to a conclusion. And in all likelihood, the Cowboys will be picking very high in the draft. And don't forget, the one player who could have saved them and isn't signed. Dak Prescott is not signed. So keep all that in mind as you ponder a week before the next Doomsday Podcast. No doubt following a loss in Philadelphia. The Doomsday Podcast from Matt Mosley. For South Palo Antonio, Glenn Stress Smith. Good night, everybody.
My cat Rachel is the silliest cat I know. One time, she played inside a paper bag for 3 hours. What a mystery. But I'm glad her health isn't. Thanks to the color-changing litter from Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter. This premium color-changing litter has pH-activated crystals that can help me detect potential illness early. That makes it easy for me to stay on top of her health and well-being. I may not understand all of Rachel's silly quirks, but I can keep up with the important things. Find Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.